So we get a call from this old-timey publicist, mm-hmm. old Jewish man. He's like, tomorrow, the Ivy, 9 o'clock, be there, bye. He was that kind of guy.
Oh, so, like they tip you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally tipped us. So it was only a few of us he called, and we stood outside of the Ivy in Beverly Hills. And sure enough, Madonna and Michael came out. Michael had a nice little care package, little doggy thing.
Oh.
And Madonna's Mercedes pulls up. She gets in the driver's seat, and we're just like blasting him coming down and in the car. Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, two for one, Michael and Madonna.
And welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo. We are riding down the River Rapids today, taking all the photos, taking all the selfies, taking in the nature around us. It's going to be such an exciting River Rapid ride. Joining me today in the canoe, going to hop into a couple of my selfies and pretend to be my dad a couple of times, is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
Hi, Dare.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. How's it going so far?
I am so good. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long again.
It feels like it.
For everybody else, they see us weekly, but like we go weeks without seeing each other. Yeah. And I'm like, what, Dad, what you been up to?
What you been up to? A lot of stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, some of it's bad, but
no!
I'm trying to recoup and get things in order before March. So this is March, right?
Possibly.
This is March.
We're time traveling again today.
We're time traveling again. Yeah, there's a lot riding on my shoulders, so I don't have that much of a support that I used to have because the other guy's busy. Well, that's just me talking crap about him. Anyways,
it's okay. We will take your mind off of the weight of the world. We'll take your mind off of the sadness, the weight on your shoulders.
Yeah, stressed out. Stressed out. Yeah, but that's all right.
But we'll provide a distraction.
Yes, yes.
Because are we all a little stressed? Yes. You know who's actually not stressed? Well, that's a lie. Our guest is probably a little stressed, but maybe not as we take him down the River Rapids. We've got joining us today, Albert Ortega.
Hey!
You're so not stressed, you fell asleep.
I did. Oh, how's everybody doing?
There's like a flute playing in the background. Do, 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 do. You know, you're just taking a little nap.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I am doing so good. I am so glad that you're here today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
You know, I showed up today. I woke up. I got ready. I'm here.
You look dynamite, too.
Thank you. Speaking of looking dynamite, I typically only see you in work form.
That's true.
We have known each other for probably 3-4 years, I'd say. Maybe even 5, because I've been in LA for 5 now.
Have you been in LA only 5 years?
Oh, wait, no. Now it's got to be 6 because we're in 2026 now.
Yep.
Yeah. And I feel like you're one of the people I met, like, obviously after the pandemic sort of, like, ended. Because I went to a red carpet event. And I want to say it was Babes in Toyland.
It probably was.
I think that was the first. No.
No.
You know what it was?
What was it?
LACC.
Oh. LA Comic Con?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's all coming back to me now. Yeah. So if you don't know Albert, actually, you know what? I'll make you explain what you do.
Oh, well, basically what I do is red carpets, you know, movie premieres, award shows, openings, and kind of like a small cog in just like promoting stuff. And, you know, studios give us a email and stuff. I've been around, I don't know, forever, since 89, the fall of 89 in October. So it's been a while. I was young once. Long time ago, I took my camera.
You took your Polaroid? Polaroid.
Back then.
You probably had to put the thing over your head and hold the thing up.
I was young then. I was 21.
Wait, really? Did you actually have a camera with the fabric on the back and the thing?
No.
Like in Lady of the Tramp?
No.
I don't even know what that camera was called.
No, we used to...
The first?
Oh, the first. Nah, but we're the first.
Camera one.
No, we had what they call prime lenses, and we had to carry a bag full of lenses. Two cameras, one for full-length fashion, because that's what they want, head-to-toe, full-length fashion on the ladies. And then the guys, and then a lens for headshots. So that was kind of the thing, headshots and full-length. And... And we didn't have zoom lenses. We didn't have now everybody's spoiled. You know, they have the, you can look at the picture right away back. You have to know your settings and know stuff, or else you're going to come back and go, no, everything's overexposed or too dark. So you kind of like, but they would always, the first tip that they taught me was pre-focus 5 feet. Because back then we would not only get them coming into the theater, we'd wait for them to come out. So we would just back, we'd have to walk backwards, and it would just pre-focus instead of trying to mess with your focus. We pre-focus 5 feet, bang, 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 bang.
But you technically aren't, I know some people like to call it paparazzi. I knew that would get you gagging, but you're technically not that kind of paparazzi. Or like, what would you consider? You're a step and repeat photographer, right? Is that the proper term?
I mean, we call them event photographers. There's some, they'll gut me off for blood if you call them paparazzi. Kill you! You know, because paparazzis are associated with people that don't get permission.
Right,
They're not invited.
Exactly.
Because they're like, I'm not gonna go by anybody's rules. I'm just gonna show up and get my picture. And
right. That's like 50% of the photographers at cons, right?
Oh. Cons? Oh, ouch. Ouch. I haven't found some photographers at cons to be a little creepy. I'll set up a shot, and some of them I think are afraid of girls because I'll be like, "Hey, can I get a picture of me?" I always ask first. Mm-hmm. You don't just run, and I always tell people, "Guys, don't run up and just start taking pictures, or you always go up, introduce yourself, say your name, and ask."
Yeah,
it's just, you know, because sometimes I'll be like, not right now. I'm meeting a friend, or they're mine somewhere else, or like I'm about to have lunch, or I gotta go to the bathroom, or whatever. And you go, okay, great. And they will say no, and it's their right to say no. Mm-hmm. So it's just the proper thing to do. But mm-hmm. I've been taking photos, and I'll see people next to me just quiet, just start taking photos. I'm like, hey. Come on, ask, and then they
run off.
Yeah, they run off. It's just like, okay, that was like my first experience in like cosplay photography, because cosplay is kind of a newer thing to me. I've been a photographer forever, but my side hustle or my side joy was always shooting genre stuff. Genre. I love genre stuff. I'm a huge fan, and people would. My colleagues, but I was like, "Oh, Al, you're such a fan," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah, I love these people. That's what. It's not for the money,
right?
Money.
Right?
There's no money, because people always ask me, "I want to be a photographer." I go, "Do you love it?" And they're like, "Yeah." I go, "Then don't do it as a living. Don't do it as a job, because then, anytime money gets introduced into something, it's hard
always."
And I like, even the first time that I met you, it was like, your energy is incredible. Like, you are just such a people person, and like, it shows in your work, because you take a second, even when we're on like step and repeats, which no one has ever once said that, like, as the person on the red carpet, say hi to them first. Like, there's no rule book for red carpets, but I used to, because it made me feel a little less nervous.
Yeah.
Because you're like standing in line, and you're kind of like, you're trying to make sure you get your turn. You're trying to make sure they spell your name right, so that way, like, you get the photos at the end of it. And like, you're fixing your hair, fixing your dress. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're up, and the lights are on, everything's happening. So it's just nice to kind of like look at the photographer and say like, "Hi, nice to see you again." Or like, "Hey, I'm not familiar with you. I'm Dare." You know, just something to kind of like break the ice a little bit. And a lot of them won't ever say hi back, and I'm like, whatever, cool, I don't really care. But I noticed like, you were actually one of the people that said hi first to me. And I was like, oh, that is such a great icebreaker. And I've started now like implementing it since way back in the day, all the time now, just because it's so helpful, and like, it helps you remember the people, because you guys are people too. Even though you're not like walking the red carpet, you know, it's important to know like who's getting your photo, so then that way they're spelling your name right, you get build a rapport with them. And like, what you do for me sometimes is you'll even send me stuff to go to other red carpets.
I like to help people out. I know. You have like a network of friends or actors and different people that I know. It's like, oh, this would be a perfect fit for this person. They should go out, and because I know it's tough. It's hard for working actors and actresses, and they don't make a lot of money. So, you know,
yeah,
I do things like that. Like during COVID, I would go to actors and act. I was like, hey, do you want to? And I created this little program, that a little idea that is called Love Above All. And I would go, I would literally drive to people's houses and hey, since I'm here, do you want me to update your headshots? And I'm like, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
So I would do that, you know, just to keep, also to keep busy, but to do the stuff. But, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all, you know, hurting, and we all need a help once in a while, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm that guy that just likes to do favors. And I'm like, I always get, like, why are you doing that? And a lot of times when I do go to red carpets, they always say, stop talking to the talent. I'm like, I know them. And they're like, my colleagues hate that. They're very, my colleagues are kind of very shy and sometimes a little jealous if you have a rapport with somebody. They're like, oh God, there he goes again. Oh. Are they in Star Trek? I'm like, no, Battlestar Galactica. whatever, same thing.
Yeah, you know,
there's this hatred for like it's some people just don't like celebrities and stuff. Like the new crop of photographers. I once asked them, like, so what movies have you seen? Like, yeah. I don't watch movies. I'm like, okay, so what television show do you watch? I don't watch TV. I don't even own a television. I'm like, so what do you do for fun? What are you talking about? What do I do for fun? Blah blah. It's just like I was trying to just.
Find a
common ground. You know, I'm like, I don't like that stuff. I'm like, yeah, I love it. You know, I love actors. I love actresses. You know, I love especially genre stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm a 100% total fan. You know,
yeah,
because I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was young. But I was not good.
Oh no,
I was not good. I was not good. But I found my. But I was always. Fascinated by photography, and not necessarily, and I'm not a great photographer, but I have a rapport with people because mm-hmm. I'm a people person. I do like people.
Yeah.
And I mean, growing up, I worshiped comic book people. And then later on, I became friends with them. It's like George Perez and Bill Sienkiewicz and Todd McFarlane and all these guys. Thank you, Todd McFarlane. Yeah. And I became friends with them and stuff. I mean, Todd McFarlane gave me some original art from Spider-Man and that I have on my wall, and this is like a minute. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and I still kick myself to this day. Jim Lee, when he was like, hey, grab some art from my bag. I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to just be, hey, can you give me some free stuff? No, I was like, no, I don't want to be that stuff. And I'm like, damn, I should have hit him up on I should have taken him up on that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool though. Like when you admire somebody so much for their work and then you get the chance to meet them and connect with them and see that they're genuinely nice people.
Oh yeah.
It's such a cool feeling.
The hardest, you know, they always say never meet your idols or your heroes.
They do say that, yeah.
I used to be a huge fan of Billy Crystal. And back in the day, I went to the premiere of the first Batman. Mm-hmm. And there was two theaters in Westwood. One was with the Village Theater, which was where all the big stars went. And the other one was at the Bruin across the street. And I was like, ooh, I get to go see Batman with, like, Winona Ryder was in my theater. And I was like, Billy Crystal. I love Billy Crystal. So I run up to go, Mr. Crystal. And he was just like, whatever. Like, he was shaking my hand but not even looking at me.
No.
And I was crushed. I was like, Billy Crystal was not a nice man.
Oh, no.
So I was, you know, of course I was crushed. But I think that pretty much the only time that I think I've met some of the that I really admired
didn't pan out. Man. No, so then do you recommend people still meeting their idols?
Yeah. You got to take a chance. I was just like, because most people are like, I'm so afraid. I'm just like, when are you going to get another chance to see Sylvester Stallone or anybody you like? It's just like, you got to take your chance.
I've met a lot of celebrities out here in LA, my time being out in LA, and they've all been great interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually just walk up to them, like, I enjoy your work. I love your work.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, thank you so much. Cool. And they ask me, he's like, what was your favorite? And I'll tell them. And sometimes it's a hidden gem. You know, it's like something like, wow, you watched that movie? I'm like, yeah, I did. Blah, blah, blah. And we talk about it. Before you know, we're cool, hanging out, and that's it. It's just, they're people. Mm-hmm. Approach them like people.
We used to do this thing on the red carpet, another photographer and I. We would say, loved you, and you I told, what's her name, Cameron Mannheim, I go, loved you in Sudden Impact. She's like, I didn't even have a line in that movie. So I love just bringing up the most obscure movie, and they're like, what?
Nice.
Yeah.
What the?
You wake them up out of the, yeah, like, I'm posing, I'm voguing, I'm wait, what? Like, yeah, you kind of.
Excuse me?
Wake them up a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I always get that, don't talk to the talent. I'm like, oh, quiet. I'm going to talk to the talent, whether you like it or not.
Like, I do what I want.
Exactly. But yeah.
But it brings out the personality in, yeah, them too. Like, I think when you have like a little rapport with them, or you make like a little joke, yeah, honestly, to me, that's what made you stand out. And that's kind of how we became friends, is that like you had said something to me and it made me laugh, and then I was like, that guy's like, all right, he's pretty nice, I like him.
I'm the jokester. I love yeah, to tell jokes, and it just to you know, thaw the ice a little bit, you know. And then a lot of mm-hmm, times they tell me, oh my god, I was so nervous going on the red carpet, yeah, and then you told that joke, that real horrible joke, and I couldn't help but laugh, and I was like, wow, that's the idea. Because it does make you memorable a lot. I've had mm-hmm, several actresses or actors that will say, like, oh my god, that was so funny, the joke you told me. I remember, they'll be like, oh, remember when you first photographed me?
Yeah.
I was nobody and stuff. I did a movie like with Chris Pratt. I was doing BTS and stuff mm-hmm, years ago. And he's more Mr. Cool. He sees me now at a red carpet and he just winks at me. Like, aww, I see you, you see me. Other people will be like, oh my god, hey. I have this ongoing joke with James Gunn.
Oh,
James,
yeah.
Gunn, yeah. I did it, and again, I worked on a movie of his, and he was actually starring in it. And the name of the character was Minute Man, but they call him Minute Man, because it's spelled like Minute Man.
Right.
It's because he would go, boot, he was a little guy. And so I see him, like I'll see him at Guardians or whatever, Superman. And it's like, he looks for me and I go like, hey, Minute Man. And he's like, ah, there he is. There he is. There's my guy. And I was like, hey. So
awesome. I love that.
Yeah, James Gunn's great. I love James Gunn.
Yeah. I saw recently, I'm very excited to see Wuthering Heights. And I saw you photograph Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi. So like, that was really cool for me to be like, oh my gosh, that looks like so much fun.
She's so beautiful. She's,
yeah, gorgeous.
Jacob is a little bit more standoffish.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's English in him or whatever, but he's like, I had a colleague of mine like yelling at him. He's like, what's your name? He goes, my name's Steve. He goes, Steve. How do you like that? Kind of like that.
Oh,
and then he like storms off and he's like, you didn't even give him the photo. I mean, I can see why. If someone's yelling at you nonstop,
just, yeah,
it's overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming.
My first time was at InfoList, and I'm like, I was nervous as heck and I didn't know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And I stopped in one spot while there's people next to me getting pictures. But I didn't know there's like, so everyone's lined up and you just got like, face them for a couple seconds, face the next person for a couple seconds. I didn't know that. And it was just like, over here. I'm like, oh, I'm like, whoa, what the heck? It was a lot.
I typically will, like, tell people, you know, if they're like, what do you do when you get on the red carpet? I go, my advice to you is do this. Pan and scan. Mm-hmm. Pan and scan. Pan, like the Terminator.
Okay.
I go, mm-hmm, don't pay attention. Because there's some people that will yell and yell and yell and, yep, yell and yell until they get to your attention. Forget everyone else, which drives me crazy because they'll be looking at me and there's somebody screaming over there and they're like, what? And this one particular photographer friend, I was so mad at her that at a premiere with one of these Bourne premieres, and Matt Damon, I'm like, Matt Damon standing in front of me and she's yelling. And finally I just go like, Matt, would you go? And I embarrass her. And so he's like, okay. And he gives over and walks next to her and stands in front of her. And she was so embarrassed she couldn't take a photo. She was because like, everyone's like laughing at her. Kind of like,
right.
I'm like, here, go ahead. Take them. Go on. You got your photo. Now you want mine? Take them. Are you done yet? And then she's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so.
I did want to ask you on, because I know Chapel Roan last year was kind of known for like really yelling at paparazzi and kind of like, being a little bit more combative.
Again.
Yeah. Well, paparazzi / you know, 7 repeat photographers. But I'm curious, like, have you seen those clips of her? And do you agree with the way that she spoke back? Or do you think it's better to just ignore?
Yeah. I mean, it's not cool to yell people's name. And I think it was in New York, right? New York photographers are extremely, yeah, aggressive.
Yeah.
I've shot a couple things in New York and they're just like, extremely aggressive. One guy in particular, and he's just like, he will rip celebrities to shreds. He just berates them. What are you doing in my city? Blah, blah, blah. How dare you not pose? And I'm like, dude, take some medicine. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Take it easy. But they some photographers do have this combative nature with celebrities. It's like, I don't know if they just, it seems like they hate them. Either they're jealous or they just don't like, I don't know what it is. I love celebrities. So it's just like, maybe they're not feeling it that night. I mean, there's some that are difficult and others, you know, I love Leonardo DiCaprio as an actor, but he's boring to shoot on the red carpet because he just does what I call the wooden Indian. He just stands there.
The wooden
Indian just stands there. And then, you know why they call him step and repeat, you know, step, repeat, step, repeat, step, repeat, you know, and you kind of give the wooden Indian, you're just the same. No emotion and stuff. Sometimes I'll try to tell him a joke and, yeah, nothing. He's all business.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know. Okay, well, then I just need to update my headshots. But I admire him for his art. I admire him as an actor. I think he's a phenomenal actor.
Oh, yeah.
Of our generation.
Uh-huh.
But he's boring to shoot. Yeah. He's just not exciting.
He's too cool for school.
Too cool for school. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. And then you get someone like a Tom Cruise who's just like, he's like a politician. He's like, hey. If you see certain photographers that he's known for years, he's like, hey, how you doing?
Oh.
You know, and he's like really just like into it and stuff. And then you're like, oh, I think I really, really also like Tom Cruise a lot. I can support someone's art and not necessarily like their politics or not necessarily like for example like
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. That's it's so hard, Bill, and I loved Bill Cosby.
I love the show.
He did this great stand-up special in Long Beach, I believe, years ago. And it's still one of my favorites, but
I never found him funny though.
I always found him funny.
Like a comedian wise, I saw some of his stuff. And I'm like, you're so PG-13. You're more like cleaner than like Will Smith in this music.
But it's like, but the funny thing is that that's how he comes off into the public. But then you hear about this horrific stuff, and you're like,
Like Bob Saget was a filthy comedian.
Yeah, but
he was a wholesome dad on Full House.
But he was also, but he's also a nice guy.
Yeah, but he's a really nice guy. His comedy was vulgar, and I love that. I love that.
It's like the dad from, oh my God, he said what about who?
Ah! Oh, you know what I heard though? Just recently, I started to sidetrack about is about Michael Jackson. He was saving the kids from those type of people.
Oh, really?
So a lot of kids that went to his Neverland Ranch and whatnot was just like victims or like potential victims of that.
I can't listen to Michael Jackson anymore, just hearing all that stuff about him. But honestly, I think Michael was just a child that never grew up. It's the weirdest thing.
Did you ever get a chance to shoot something like that, like Madonna?
Shot Madonna. Years ago. Again, we used to do when it was kind of slow, and we'd go like, oh, let's go camp out in front of Madonna's house. So we'd go up Doheny, and we would wait for Madonna. It's like, what street driving today? And usually it was a cat and mouse game, you know. That was when I was doing my paparazzi stuff.
I was going to say, so you used to camp out and sort of try to get those shots in the wild.
Actually, Michael with Madonna.
Michael
with Madonna. Combo. Yeah. So we get a call from this old-timey publicist, old Jewish man. He's like, tomorrow, the Ivy, 9:00, be there, bye. He was that kind of guy.
Oh, so, like they tip you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally tipped us. So it was only a few of us he called, and we stood outside of the Ivy in Beverly Hills. And sure enough, Madonna and Michael came out. Michael had a nice little care package, little doggy thing.
Oh.
And Madonna's Mercedes pulls up. She gets in the driver's seat, and we're just like blasting him coming down and in the car. Mm-hmm. Dang. And so that, you know, two for one, Michael and Madonna.
Let's go.
So you technically used to do the whole like camping out for celebrities then, like back in the day?
Back in the day, because there wasn't as many events as there was now. There was less premieres, so you had to fill the day. And so it was like what we would do, we would get in our car, or a lot of times we would camp out at Spago. Spago was like the hip restaurant where. So it was right across the street from Tower Records.
Yeah.
Oh, right up on that hill.
Sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now what is the hot spot. It's that like one westerny kind of saloon. What's it called?
Saddle Ranch?
I think so. Oh, I think Saddle Ranch is like the new spot.
That and there's another one in
still that place.
I don't know. I don't, since I don't do that anymore, I wouldn't know where to go.
Like I remember that place was like a haven for like reality.
Reality.
Yeah, it might just be for like TikTokers now. Like maybe that's where they like camp out.
Maybe.
But I've never been to Saddle Ranch, so maybe I need to like show up and be like, all right, I've been here.
I've been to Saddle Ranch invited, you know, like, oh, we're having a birthday party. You want to come down? I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, pay me the money.
It's a fun place.
I mean, they have a mechanical cow.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah. It's like an upscale Barney's and Beanery.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Well,
there was another one, though. I can't remember the drink. Not Drake's. But they're like, oh, are you going to this? I'm like, oh, no.
Drake's.
Not Drake's.
But there's a new hot spot that
It's been around for a while. It's been around. But I honestly wouldn't know because I don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So they go, it's funny because, you know, people will ask, like a tourist go like, oh, look, there's a paparazzi. And then you're like, rrr, 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 and like a bunch of, but I'll say like, you know, so like, they don't really like being called paparazzi because paparazzi is derogatory.
Yeah.
They're like, so they're like, so how would you classify yourself? And I was like, well, we're red carpet photographers, event photographers. And they go, well, what's the difference between you and a paparazzi? And I'm like, and I would think about it and think about it. I go, you know what? We're invited.
Yeah.
We're part of the promotional machine. Mm-hmm. You know, we're basically there to help promote the film or this or that or someone's career.
Yeah.
Where the paparazzi, they're there to make money. And I mean, like, God bless them. They want to make money and stuff. And who doesn't want to make money? Mm-hmm. But they're looking for that shot, you know, the one shot that, you know,
the problematic shot that gets slapped on the magazine cover, you know.
Yeah, for the tabloids, but I mean, it's changed. I mean, now there is no shot that's going to make you a lot of money.
Yeah.
But before they would like literally like they would pull up to say somebody's getting divorced or something and they pull up their house and then they saw another photographer. They're like, man, I want an exclusive. So they would go to someone else.
Oh,
because if you have the exclusive, you can command a price. So like they can't say like, okay, we're going to pay you $5,000 for this shot. You command. You're just like, hey, I got this. I was the only one there. This is what I want. I want 10 grand or whatever. You don't hear about that anymore. The people don't make that kind of money anymore. And it's like, give me a break. There's always like a crowd of people that like will follow certain people that are just like a bunch of different people.
Oh, yeah.
I had the fortunate of walking down Sunset in Fairfax one time a long time ago, and Britney Spears' cars broke down. Like,
oh, God.
Britney's
oh.
right in the middle of the intersection. And it was just a tire situation. But literally, she was being hounded and followed by a bunch of paparazzis in cars.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, nobody offered to help. And I was going to, but I was like, I don't want that kind of.
You don't want
to
be in this. I don't want to be in the news.
I don't want to be in the news for this. Okay. But
yeah.
I was like, this sucks. Nobody's helping. I just kept walking. But it was a really bad situation. It was like cops had to get involved because, like, she was blocking up traffic. They were blocking up traffic. It was the middle of the whole Fairfax area. Like,
yeah. And sometimes these people like you're like, oh my God, poor Kim Kardashian or whatever. They actually call the paparazzi.
Yeah. They do it to themselves. Yeah. Like, it's now a known fact that like they love to stir up the tea and the drama and like tip people off so that way they're still relevant.
Yeah.
And it works.
It works unless like Tila Tequila. She was She was doing her thingy live and she was going to a gas station down on Franklin Beachwood.
Yeah.
And she got robbed.
No.
She got robbed. She was live. She got robbed live because somebody was just like,
holy
literally.
Cow.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, don't say where you're at maybe next time.
Yeah. Ugh. That's what the Bling Ring was based off of. Not Tila Tequila, but like Paris Hilton had people break into her house and they were stealing like little minute things so that way she like wouldn't notice. And that's what Bling Ring is based off of, is that she finally like caught on to these like teenagers that were breaking into her house because she was checking in on Facebook being like, I'm in New York, I'm here, I'm at this event. So these kids would break into her mansion.
Yeah, Paris Hilton's not known for her intelligence.
I mean, she's getting there.
He's getting there. She and Dick can.
I mean, her whole shtick. Her shtick, like, for the longest time was being uneducated, but I don't know if you watched her speech recently on, like, SA.
Oh, she's smart.
It was really well done.
She does the Pam Anderson thing. She plays Ditzy for the camera, but she's actually, like, 100%
but
smart.
I don't think she's a good person. Someone you should emulate. No. Oh. I mean, I don't want to disparage.
I don't know her very well, so I only know her from afar.
I know some things about her.
Oh, no. Like,
all I know about her is she had a very boring sex tape. That's all I know.
Oh, no. Yeah, I haven't seen any of the sex tapes, to be honest. It's not something I go looking for.
I've seen them all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. None of them are great. Yeah,
funny about a say. My friend, I have a friend. He just bought a house and he was moving in. This is a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
And this guy who's a notorious paparazzi. He goes, "This is for you," and it was it probably was in this oily paper bag or something. But it was a sex tape. But it was Rob Lowe's tape when he was like really big into politics. This is before West Wing.
Oh my God.
And so I was lucky enough to go into one of the showings. Uh-huh. And it's like I couldn't barely see anything, but in the room with me who's narrating it the whole time and making jokes was Matthew Perry. Before friends, and he was hysterical. He was cracking us up. Yeah. He was like, "Hey, first time here," and he was making all these jokes, and we're like, "Oh my God, who is this guy? He's hysterical." Oh. But this again was before friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then, an unknown.
He had a series on Fox.
Oh, okay.
He had a series on Fox, and he was really funny. I forget the name of the show, but.
I don't know him for anything besides Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the whole nine yards, the movie, and then Saving Silver. Not Saving Silver. It's the one he did with Selma Hayek.
Oh, I love that's cute movie. I love that movie.
That was a really cute movie.
Yeah. But he was funny. But you know, but seriously, of all these things that I get to do, I mean, we're hearing about a lot of. Around LA. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I love the most, the thing that I look forward to every single year is Comic-Con.
Yeah, right? I was going to try to bring it back to the DeLulu topic, but we kind of let the canoe run rapid.
That canoe just went all...
It was just on its journey. So a lot of our guests go on a lot of podcasts, and you've actually said you've been on a few.
Yeah.
And we just like to ask our guests, like, what sort of things, like, make them feel a little DeLulu, things that they don't usually get to talk about. And is yours Comic-Con?
No, I always talk about Comic-Con.
Oh, great. Okay.
I always talk about Comic-Con because it's something that I look forward to. It's just like people ask me, "Do you ever take vacations?" And I'm like, "No." I hate traveling. You know, I don't like traveling. I hate packing. I just don't like traveling.
Yeah.
But I go, like, my mecca, my thing that I go to, that's my religious experience is Comic-Con because I get to see so many friends for like a brief second because, but it's inspirational to me because, like a lot of people in this town, I want to be a filmmaker as well. And I got a couple of things in the old noggin here. But I got one that I just like almost got off the ground. Almost. As soon as I finish the script, but I can't write. Yeah, it's just like, I know how to describe it. And I've described it to several people. And they're like, "Oh, that would be great." And I've even got people on board that's like, "Oh, I want to work on that movie."
Yeah.
Go, yeah, you do? Yeah. And it just... Like every time I see these trailers for these new movies and I get inspired, I'm like, "Oh, this would be good for that," or "That would be great. This is a good way to segue from this scene to this scene." And it just fills me full of joy and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something that I look forward to. And it's my favorite people that go there, all the genre people. So it's just like, and I think I've seen everyone from Tom Cruise to The Rock to Keanu Reeves, and I got a chance to talk to Keanu Reeves.
Nice.
It's just like, he came out to promote his comic and stuff.
Yeah.
And Keanu is so shy, you know, and he's very kind of like to himself, but I admire, I read about all these great things that he does. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of personal tragedies too, you know, the poor guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm just like, he's very, very giving, and you don't hear about this stuff unless you really invest, investigate. And he's just like a really great guy. So I wanted to tell him, like, when am I going to get a chance? You can't do him at red carpets or events because he's like all in work mode.
Yeah.
But there he was, just like standing off of himself. And then I'm like, I walked towards him, and his publicist is like, You're like coming after me. And I'm like, no.
Good publicist then.
And I was like, no. I don't want to take any photos of him. I just want to talk to him. She's, oh, okay. And so I go, and I introduced myself, and I told him, I said, you know what? You're a real genuine guy. I go, I really admire you.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he was getting, oh, shucks.
So shy.
He's so shy. Oh, thanks. I said, no, you're a good guy. You have a good heart. I said, mm-hmm. I just want you to know that. And you're just, you know, I'm sure you hear it 100 times. Mm-hmm. But when you hear it from like a stranger or someone like you, in the business, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, how often do they hear that? Probably from an agent or like somebody else. They're all about, yeah, how much are you going to make me, Shane? Yeah. Let's make some more money, Shane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, you get that opportunity at Comic-Con to see certain people. And I always have this another ongoing thing with like Michael Rooker. I love Michael Rooker. I don't know if you know Michael Rooker is. He's been in so many genre stuff. But I have I was yelling at Rooker. I go, Rooker, and he goes, what? And he gets all upset. And I did that when the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and I saw him. I was like, oh, and he was really good. And he's still good friends with James Gunn, and James Gunn tends to put him in a lot of his stuff. Like he was in Slither, and he was in, of course, he was in. And I was like, I told him the only thing I'm disappointed in, James, I'm disappointed in you because I wanted him to be Pa Kent. I go, I know you're gonna make Michael Rooker Pa Kent. I know you are. And he's like, he wouldn't say, but I was like. He did a voice in the new Superman, and I'm hoping that he's going to bring him on actually. But Rooker is he's like a Southern kind of guy. He's also Walking Dead. He was in the Walking Dead.
Oh.
I first witnessed him, like saw something with him in it. It was Replacement Killers. That was very, very early. He played a detective.
I remember
Chow Yun-fat, right? That was his name, Chow Yun-fat.
Chow Yun-fat.
Yeah. He was the, it was great. And, God, I forgot her name. The Italian bro.
Sorbet? Oh, yeah. Paul Sorvino's daughter.
Or, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She was awesome. She was, I had a huge crush on her. Still
me
do.
Too.
Still
me do. Too. Yeah. She was gorgeous. She was tough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you talk about, like, bringing you back to your Delulu, when you talk about Comic-Con, you're specifically talking about San Diego, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because everyone thinks, like, oh, all the Comic-Con's owned by the same people.
Like, and they're not,
They're like, are you going to New York Comic-Con? I'm like, no. They go, oh, they're all owned by the same people.
I mean, even I was pretty confused about that up until, like, last year, because there's nobody who really, like, clarifies it to you unless you're, like, doing your research. And a lot of people that go to the cons don't. Do their research and look up, you know what I mean? Like, we don't go like, oh, I want to buy tickets to New York. Let me see who owns it. Let me see, you know, like there's, you just buy the ticket and you go. But specifically San Diego is a really great networking con. Like you had said, like there's tons of celebrities that go there, huge like announcements for like upcoming shows, movies, media. Yeah. And it's a great opportunity to like get your photo out in the press. Like there was two back-to-back years where a lot of my cosplays actually made it into like online articles, which is really cool. But also, it's just really great weather, the location,
not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah. So then, do you camp out the entire week and show up, or are you more of like the first opening media day?
I don't have to camp out, which is another great thing.
Wait, do you live in San Diego?
No. My experience, I've been going to San Diego since 92. So it was just comics. There was no Hall H. Yeah. There was no Ballroom 20. But it was pretty much all, and the biggest name was William Shatner.
William Shatner.
So what I did, and I went clearly, mainly as a fan. I went there to see the comic book artists and stuff. So one year, I said, I'm going to go to Comic-Con. You know, I've heard of it, and I've always wanted to go. So I just went. I got a credential. I went in, and I took photos. And then I met with David Glanzer, who's the head of publicity. Or what is strategy? So it's his department. He's the runs it. And he goes, how is it that you get photos that our guys don't get? I said, well, because I'm used to shooting for celebrities, I don't get intimidated. I said, you have to be aggressive, but not pushy. you have to, but you always, and I try to keep a smile. Like maybe you're like, when it comes to security, but you have to like mind your P's and Q's. Mm-hmm. So I basically said, no, you know, and then he's like, would you like to work for us? You know, as a staffer or not a staffer, but as a volunteer, but you get different. So we came up with an agreement because everyone else are volunteers, but they're not professionals. I was the only one that worked with them that was professionals, and they would tell us, oh, you know, we would see you come and go. We didn't know your name or anything, but we knew that you were somebody special. Mm. And I said, well, because I'm used to working with celebrities. So as Comic-Con grew and the celebrities grew, then they added a bottom 20, they added the sales pavilion. And then they added Tall Room 20, and then they added a Hall H. So I was there pretty much from the get-go.
Wow.
And because I would work with a lot of these publicity firms and studios and stuff during the rest of the year, they know my face for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, hey, well, yeah, what's going on? We're going to get them coming off the stage. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not that they don't even ask. They just, hey.
They know you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they see the step and repeat. And sometimes the studios hire their own photographer, which I work with in LA as well. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, the king of Comic-Con. I'm like,
You're like, that's me.
That's a cool title.
Yeah. Yeah, some people, I don't like compliments. I don't know why. But I'm like, I don't want to get a big head. I just want to stay humble and stuff.
You just like doing your job.
You enjoy it.
Yeah,
I like fanning. I was like a pretend, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm about to be serious and stuff. And then in the background, I'm like going.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's just like, I mean, Metallica was there 1 year, and that was amazing. I'm a huge Metallica fan, so I was like,
same here.
I was like, oh, Enter Sandman. So, yeah. I mean, I remember my brother used to drive this little Honda, like, on the sidewalk.
Is it?
And every morning on the way to school was always a Four Horsemen. He would play the same song. There you go.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, Comic-Con is just something that I grew with, and, you know, it's just like I can go to McFarlane. Like, I remember McFarlane had Ozzy Osbourne in his booth 1 year. And I was like, Ozzy Osbourne. So I was in the office, like, oh, Ozzy's signing downstairs with McFarlane. I run over there. And it's a huge crowd. There's all these photographers. And I'm like, I squeeze into the front, and the public's like, oh, no, they've done enough. And I just go, Todd. Then he looks up. I go, McFarlane. And he goes, hey. And he grabbed Ozzy, goes, look over there. And Ozzy says, hey, oi! that was my last shots of Ozzy. So,
wow.
All I have to do is, you know, yell at the person you know and stuff. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Just yell at them politely.
Yell at them politely.
Yeah.
Like Michael Rooker. Rooker!
Yeah.
It was going back to that story. I didn't think I'd finish that story. So I go yell at him, Rooker! And he's like, what? Like, but he sounded pissed, so the rest of the cast was like, oh, what the hell? And then he's like, and then we're like hugging and stuff, and they're like, oh. The only ones that on the joke was me, James, and Michael Rooker. Mm-hmm. So that we're like, there, the rest of the cast is like, what's going on? Is it going to be a throwdown? And I was like, no.
They're doing the head pivot from like, oh no.
What happened? This photographer's yelling at Michael Rooker. But.
Yeah. You're like, wait, I know him though. We go way back.
We know.
We're cool.
We're homies.
So if San Diego is like your number one, is there a moment, like I know you talked about Ozzy, is there another like celebrity encounter or just like a favorite moment that you've had over the
years? How much time you got? I got lots. There was one time Sandra Bullock was there.
Oh my God.
Promoting, what was the name of that movie? She was in space.
Oh,
you know which
God, I love that movie. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Clooney produced it.
Yeah.
And I was hoping George would be there. George hasn't been there yet.
Really?
Not yet. There's most any celebrity you mention them, they're like, you know, you've been here before.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock. I had a huge crush on Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
It was so,
she's great.
I mean, I remember when she was just starting out and we were at some party in the Valley. And she had pulled up in her car and she's like, hey, I just got the Demolition Man. You know, she was just starting. She just got the role because Lori Petty did not get along with Sylvester Stallone. And she was like, see ya. So they brought in Sandra Bullock, who was a relative unknown at the time. And she was like, yeah. And she was so playful and stuff. Like, I remember when While You Were Sleeping was having a premiere. And I was walking with next to her mom.
And she was telling us things to say to her in German.
Ooh.
And she's like, Mom, stop teaching him German. I was like, Liebchen, yoo-hoo. Because she's just so adorable.
Yeah.
I just love her. And then, so when I saw her at Comic-Con, I was like going, you're so cute. And she goes, you're so cute. You're so cute. And I was like, oh.
Aww.
We were just, you know, just
we're having fun.
Yeah.
Man, what's with people and like their aversion to fun? Like,
I don't know.
Understand.
I guess if they don't know you or whatever, they're like,
yeah.
Why is he, what? Why is he doing? And some people are a little, you know, too buttoned up and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all business. It's like, we're here to promote a movie and blah, 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 blah. Can't have any fun and blah, 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 blah. You know,
yeah, those people are good to have around, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they keep you out a little bit.
They keep you on track.
Yeah.
Because Comic-Con is like a fine oiled machine. And it's not what it used to be. Before, you could joke around because you could have time in between. But now, oh no, it's a full press thing. They're across the street doing publicity for this, talking to Good Morning America, and they're going from room to room to room to room to room. And then they're going to do photo shoots here. And then they would, I remember one year they had a boat across, Kevin Smith was doing a thing across the way. And he would interview people, and I was like, I met Kevin Smith at Comic-Con, and he was promoting Clerks, and we've become lifelong friends, and I love Kevin. I'd do anything for Kevin Smith. Nice.
Yeah.
I met him at the bar I work at.
Did you?
I used to work at,
I used to work at
Scum and Villainy Cantina.
You used to work at Scum and Villainy?
Yeah.
I had my birthday at Scum and Villainy.
I opened that place.
Did you?
Yeah. And he would shoot his podcast.
Fat Man.
Was it Fat? Well, so before it was Fat Man Beyond. It was Fat Man,
Batman and Fat Man, or something?
And then it changed to Fat Man Beyond. But I used to be the bartender. I'll hand Mark Bernard his Corona because Kevin didn't drink. So, Mark Bernard would just drink. Just Corona. He'll have one Corona. He's like, yeah, just give it to me while we start. I'm like, okay. So I'm like waiting. He gives me the cue and just walk in the background. This guy with the eyes. I'm like, boom, boom. It was fun. Every Tuesday, seats were sold out. They were just there right now promoting the new Scum and Villainy bar.
Yeah, the one in Burbank.
Yeah.
I want to go to that one. People are going, are you going to have your birthday party at Scum and Villainy again? I'm like, I'm going to wait till next year because then I'll be 60. And I'm like,
Yeah, I'm waiting until next year, too, to have a party again.
Yeah, but people are like, that place is so fun. And I haven't seen the one in Burbank yet, but I'm like, ooh.
Well, it's in concept.
I was going to say, I don't think it's open yet.
No, it's
right?
in concept. Yeah. They got a lot of backers.
Kevin's
one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, Sam Whitward, I think Seth Green. I'm not sure.
Seth Green.
A bunch of other people.
I love Seth Green, too.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's funny, when the first Phantom Menace came out, and it was like amazing. I even cried a little bit when I saw the trailer. I was like, Star Wars. And then they had Jar Jar Binks, and I was like,
What's wrong with Jar Jar, man?
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Mr. Watson, Thursa. I had to do the voice for, I worked in my friend, he did a video. What was it called? It was a mixture of, it's super, super funny. It was a mixture of reality television and Star Wars. God, we did it long ago. It was Anthony Ferrante, who directed all the Sharknadoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's that kind of humor. It's like, so he's like, and so I was doing my Jar Jar Binks, and I was like, you want to do that for the movie? I'm like, yeah, sure. And even my wife was in it. She was like, because the actress we employed could not do a decent yell because she walks in on Jar Jar and Jar Jar is all dismembered.
Oh, no.
So she goes, the scream, and the actress just couldn't hit the notes.
Oh,
and my wife was like, I can do a good scream. And everyone's like, yeah, you. Come on, put up or shut up. She's all right. So she rolls it. My wife does blood curdling scream, and she goes, "Wah!" And we're like, "Oh my God, who's getting murdered?" So she's like, "Yeah, we're gonna keep that in there."
Like you're in.
You're in. You got the role. But it was fun. God, I wish I could remember it. I think you can find it on YouTube. It was like a mixture of the surreal world. The surreal world.
Mm.
I recommend it. Watch it. I even got to play Vulcan.
Nice.
Yeah, it's mixing of the worlds.
Nice.
But the greatest thing was one of his actors, his name was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Mm.
And he had a gin bottle with his face on it.
And
he was a full-on alcoholic, and he would use the force to change the channel.
Nice.
So my part was like basically me and my buddy Eric. Mm-hmm. We knock on the door like Jehovah's Witnesses, but then we had the
you guys just like Spocks? Like
Vulcans? We were I was a Vulcan. We had the Star Trek insignia.
Yeah.
And we were trying to promote we were trying to get Anakin to come to Starfleet or whatever. And he was, and then Qui-Gon was like, hey, with this bottle, like, get out of here, go on. And he goes, go on. And he chases us down the street. It was so much fun, so much fun. Aww. Yeah, I feel like it should have come out now. I think people would have appreciated it more.
Someone came up with a show called Designing the Empire.
Mm. Designing the Empire.
It was about redesigning the logo that's in the new movies. Mm. And it's like a Zoom call of all these different people, and there's like the Emperor and like some other people like that.
That's cool.
And like people are like, it's like, well, so in designing blah blah blah, it's like, no, we need a symbol that represents blah 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 blah. And they keep on coming up with all kinds of stuff like that. It's like, why don't we just take what we used to have and just make it with little sharp things and look like, well, that's brilliant. But it was like a whole season of it, and it's freaking hilarious.
Okay,
it's,
I love all the that. Emperor said was good.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it. It was genius. It was a comedy, but it was Star Wars, but it was like a Zoom call. So it was like, it was really, really cool. Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Reimagining something that like takes place in a different timeline, but then adding like a current modern twist, like the Zoom element. Man, I love when people think outside of the box like that.
Me too.
It makes it very entertaining. You're like, oh, I never thought about what that would erupt into or evolve into. So
I think Seth Green does it best with the robot chicken, especially when he would do the Emperor going like, Your Majesty, Stormtrooper, 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 nah. And then the whole F you.
Yeah.
He's great.
Especially the Family Guy stuff.
Family Guy
Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things that are very entertaining and immense, we're actually going to take this over to the Patreon because you all asked Albert some questions on over there.
Oh, I better get ready.
Oh, yep. Get yourself ready. Yes. So cute.
I have a Jar Jar one.
I swear they talk in one of them. That guy's wife.
I think they say nub nub.
Nub nub.
Or yub nub.
They say nub nub, but they also say that guy's wife. That for sure. Yeah. I heard. I have to see. We have to watch because I watched it over, and I just watched it recently. And I go, yeah, they do talk.
Aww.
And then I met the Thompsons. They played Ewoks in it, and I was like, oh, one of them's got a book, The Journey to
Endor.
Yeah, she wrote a book.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I was like, dee. That's my daughter's favorite one.
Yeah. Aww.
It's not my favorite one.
Well, we will take this on over to Patreon. Albert, where can everybody find you on social media if they
are
looking
media.
For you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Albert L. Ortega, all one word, lowercase. Facebook. I'm never on Facebook.
MySpace?
I was just
MySpace! MySpace! I actually did go to MySpace, and there's a picture of me and, God. What's his name on Lost?
Oh, which one?
Jorge.
Oh,
Jorge. Me and Jorge taking a picture. I was like, oh my God, I've taken so many great pictures. I do write books, well, not write, but more photo books from Comic Con. I have like 3 editions. I am so far behind.
Oh.
But people, I was like, hey, do this, and I made one for some of the volunteer photographers.
Wow.
I was like, here, do this. Expensive. Blurb.
Yeah.
But they're fun. I love putting them together. Mm-hmm. It takes me back to the days when I used to work on yearbook. I was on yearbook.
Oh, nice. Like a coffee table book kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a nice coffee table book. It's
that's
beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I used to, when I was in high school, I think I made about 90% of our yearbook because they were like, I don't want to do the freshman. I said, I'll do the freshman. I'll do the sophomores. I'll do the sophomores. I don't want. There were people there, all they wanted to do was, I just wanted to do basketball. I just wanted
just
to do
the one sport or whatever.
Yeah, and
then
I did everything else.
Yeah.
The great thing about it, though, I put on all my
friends. Ah, you make sure they get
like,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They dominated the yearbook. They're like, hey, let's watch it. Hey, what's that nerd doing in there? Like, there's him again. What the?
You're like, And Cosmo, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me at Cosmo666 on Instagram.
You.
And then the Cosmo Show Instagram, and then the Cosmo Show on YouTube. If it's still running, if it's still going, but yes, there.
Do it.
Do it.
And then also you can check me out on Instagram, Dare Taylor Official, with the blue check mark. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram as well, Delulu Canoe Podcast. We have almost the same amount of subscribers on YouTube as we have followers on Instagram. So thank you all so much for joining us on both of those platforms. And we will see you all over on Patreon. Woo-hoo. And don't forget to stay Delulu, because it's the Salulu. Bye.
The Salulu?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Solution. Oh, the solution.
What is it, though?
Captain Sulu.
Oh!